Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Well, yeah, back here for Moody on the mic. Yeah, that it's another Thursday morning record. It seems to be a pretty successful play at the moment for us here on Moody on the mic. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as always, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen, the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. Moods, Friday night at the Valley. It meant your best bet didn't even get a run. And not only that, there wasn't a clean pair of undies in the house at the Valley on Friday night. I did hear rumours that Rain Man had to rush off at one point to change his strides.
Oh, was Rain Man there representing Ladbrokes? That was great to see. I hope he was in the Ladbrokes lounge. The rest of us missed out, but never mind. Never mind. Interesting weekend. I watched from afar last weekend. I was up in Western Queensland watching it all unfold, and I was wondering where the bloody hell race six was. I was sitting there waiting for the best bet to go to the barriers, curled up with a couple of Forex gulls and a few mates leaning on the bar at the Charleville RSL Club, but it didn't happen. So, listen, congratulations to Moonee Valley Racing Club and for Racing Victoria to get that Manikato Stakes on Saturday's card after someone suggested that it was impossible. 11 race card, that was good, and we got to see the Group 1 horses fight it out on Saturday afternoon. And Animo, what do we say? He's the best horse in the country. Is he a champion? They'll see people arguing about him. Doesn't matter. He's the best horse in the country at the moment. He just keeps winning, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And the Manikato being run on Saturday instead of on the Friday night, Rain Man, I'd imagine that's going to create some significant uptick in turnover. And do you think we might see it shifted back to the Saturday, and we have a dual Group 1 day there, and maybe they run the bars or something on the Friday night as the feature race instead?
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion, Roger. It has been something that's been talked about for a while, is moving the Manikato, the Ladbrokes Manikato Stakes, the Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day. And I think this, what happened on Friday and then into Saturday, only accelerated that discussion. So it's going to be an interesting one. The Moonee Valley Racing Club does have a bit of a decision to be made there. I like the Friday night atmosphere, and I think having the feature Group 1 race there on the Friday night is a positive for that card. There were, before the storm hit, the weather in Melbourne on Friday afternoon was absolutely outstanding. So there was a really good vibe and a really good crowd at Moonee Valley on the Friday night before basically all hell broke loose. I'm from Queensland, and I'm used to thunderstorms. That was some of the loudest thunder I've heard in my life. So it was chaos there, but as Mood said, the club did a great job to get that race run on the Saturday.
I reckon you probably knocked the nail on the head there, Rog. With the sprinters, it's 2 weeks to Champions Day. So it wouldn't matter when the Manikato's run. If the Vars was shifted to the Friday night, and even the mares and the three-year-old fillies race shifted to Friday night, it gives them 8 days rather than 7 days to the Derby and the Empire Rose the following Saturday at Flemington. So maybe that does create a bit of space and is worth discussion. I can remember when the Moya, which was the Group 1, was run on Cox Plate Day, and I think probably the advent of shifting it and certainly a part of the case was the day Black Caviar actually ran in the Moya and it was a Group 2. I think the race actually overshadowed the Cox Plate run that afternoon. So I can understand, have a feature race, but maybe a couple of the others, even if they didn't shift the Manikato, probably no reason why the Vars and maybe even the mares or the three-year-old fillies couldn't go to the Friday night as well, split the stakes races up a bit more evenly.
So, Petey, while you're handing out that free advice, do you reckon you could sort of get in there and maybe run a successful barrier draw or two for Racing Victoria?
Oh, now, Anthony. the beautiful thing about this, and I hope it's very educational for Racing Victoria, is, and I've been a victim of human error, and spent time on the sidelines, a very expensive time on the sidelines, as other trainers have. And hey, we're only human and people make mistakes. I don't think whoever was doing the barrier draw was out there to cheat, or there was nothing untoward about it. But I'm sure the person that didn't put number 14 Marble into the barrier draw isn't going to get fined, isn't going to get suspended for 3 or 6 months, isn't going to get fined for, supposed, say, race day treatments and things like that.
Bringing racing into disrepute.
Exactly. So it's a great education for Racing Victoria to say, hang on, they are only human as well, like the trainers, like the jockeys, the participants out there who are all straight away assumed as cheats and guilty of such until they prove their innocence. It's not a matter of Racing Victoria having to prove any bloody thing. The poor person that's made a human error or mistake, oh, you're a dickhead, you're a cheat, you're trying to do things wrong.
Oh, come on, Peter. I feel like I've gone back in time 5 years. Gee whiz. I didn't mean to open up that can of worms. I was just having a little joke.
Well, and it is a joke, and it was a mistake, and it was a human error mistake. And Racing Victoria, please take it on board and accept that, hey, you're not the only people that can make a mistake, so I'm not going to have a shot at the poor bastard that left number 14 out of the barrel.
The vision of the guy is very amusing when he realises that number 14's not there and the look on his face. But they did have the redraw, and I think it all went off. But we all make mistakes, and I haven't had, you know, I've not had a greater regret then Saturday evening, and then still on Sunday morning, I kid you not, when I just didn't back Promise of Success at 30-1, and I was watching the race with one of my mates, and he's the same, has backed it every start because he listens to the show, and we hear Mytho bang on, and we always put the money there. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching the invitation, and Promise of Success just absolutely pisses in at 30-1, and it didn't have a cracker on it.
Pop-up races. Love a pop-up.
Oh, there's the trophy. He's for the trophy.
It's a time-honored trophy.
He's not even at his house. Mytho is not at his usual residence down there, Geelong way, and he still managed to bring the trophy with him.
Oh, I love a pop-up race.
Rayman, did you get on? Because you were quick on the group text after the race. Did you actually get a piece of the 30s?
I had something very small, so nothing really to write, but I basically had to have something just to avoid the FOMO that you felt, Rog. But I will have to say there was plenty of Moody on the mic listeners that did get on, because it was quite good actually on the weekend. I had a number of Moody on the mic listeners come up and say how much they enjoyed the show, and there was that one bloke who, after the invitation, just came up and just got it right in my face and just yelled, "Promise of Success," and then went on his way, which was good. And then even I was on this back in Brisbane, I was leaving the airport, and a bloke's coming in for a Sunday morning flight, and he said, "Love the podcast, Promise of Success," and off he went on his way as well. So the Moody and the Mike faithful were very, very excited after that win.
No, it was a magnificent effort, Mytho, and we've got a chance to add another pop-up race to the Moody on the Mic trophy cabinet this weekend. We're going to get to that. We'll take a break. We've got a big preview ahead of us.
Here we have a mate dedication from Cam to Eddie. Over to you, Cam.
Thanks, champ. This is for my best mate, Eddie. He backed the rough in our pot and it got up for the lads.
Great stuff. And don't forget to labbroke it together this spring carnival with Mates Mo.
Thank you.
T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Time for something a little different on Moody on the Mic, a live read unpaid ad. But we like to plug good causes, and Inglis have got together, William Inglis and Sons, to support Lend a Hand for the Land Day. And it's a three-day working bee starting on November 11 through to Sunday, November 13. And they're looking for volunteers to help with Victorian farms that have suffered through the recent flooding. So if you can lend a hand for the Land Day, email james.price@inglis.com.au. That's james.price@inglis.com.au.
A massive day of racing on Saturday in two states. It is Victoria Derby Day, so we might as well kick off with the Derby. And we've been critical in the past, certainly on this show, and we're not the only ones, that the Derby had certainly lost a lot of its luster and become a bit of a glorified 58 raider. This is a very, very good edition of the Derby, Rayman, and a very competitive market as well.
Yeah, completely agree, Roger. I think it's probably one of the most interesting derbies we've had in a few years. And we've had some serious movement at the top of betting. Barclay Square is now the favourite on the back of its win in the Moonee Valley Vars, $3.90 into $3.40. Sharp and Smart, the Spring Champion Stakes winner, was the favourite. It's now second pick at $3.60. Mr. Maestro just keeps on winnings there at $6. Pericles for Godolphin, $7.50. They're the horses at single figure odds. And even some of these horses at a bit of a price, you can make a case for. It's not a derby with an enormously long tail, as we have seen in some recent years. But I personally do think it is a race between the top three in the top of betting. And I'm backing both Sharp and Smart and Mr. Maestro to knock off Barclay Square here. Sharp and Smart has not put a foot wrong since it's arrived in Australia. It was very tough in the Spring Champion Stakes. It was didn't have a perfect run in transit. It was had a bit of a tricky path to weave in the straight as well, and was still able to finish over the top of Elliptical to get the job done. And it looks like a horse that will relish the 2,500 metres of the Victoria Derby. And Mr. Maestro, drawn barrier 17, so that's not ideal, but it's a horse that's sort of followed the traditional path to the Victoria Derby, won the Superimposed, won the Caulfield Classic, the old Norman Robinson. And we know that Andrew Forsman's taken over from Murray Baker. And we know just how good a record Murray Baker had in all our derbies, but the Victoria Derby as well. And there's a really good piece on Ladbrokes social media channels at the moment about Andrew Forsman and Mr. Maestro. So I think those two are the two horses to beat. No knock on Barclay Square at all for mine, but the Moonee Valley Vase form hasn't really stacked up in the derby. So I'm sort of happy to take it on. And I was on him, so I was happy to see it win the other day. But I just think that Sharp and Smart and Mr. Maestro look better suited out to the 2,500 metres of the derby.
Do you need anything from us, Rog?
No, I think we're pretty well covered. We might move on now to the... okay, well, I completely agree that the market's got it right. Sharp and Smart, Mr. Maestro are the dangers for mine, but I'm with Barclay Square. I've been on the Barclay Square bandwagon a few runs now. I'm not going to jump off. I'm hoping that weekend run didn't take too much out of him on the heavy track, but then again, there's a lot of horses coming in through similar ways. So I reckon it might be a derby for Dan O'Sullivan, but certainly, yeah, Sharp and Smart, Mr. Maestro are the threats, and I will be boxing him up in a trifecta because they look like the three for me.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Mr. Maestro, but I reckon I found one at odds here, and you're going to laugh at me because it happens to be by Seamus Award. But Distrustful Award, it went enormous last start behind. What did it?
That was in the Mr. Maestro race.
Mr.
Yeah.
Maestro at Caulfield. Yeah, sorry, I was just checking my notes here, but it was a bit stiff, and I thought it was a really good run, and It can bob up at big odds there, Rayman. What odds in the Ladbrokes market?
$34 for Distrustful Award. Matty Stewart on RSN's been banging that drum for a while now too, with that.
Yeah, I can see it it giving a real sight at those sorts of odds. So I'll be having a bet on Mr. Maestro to make sure I profit on the race if it wins and something small each way, Distrustful Award. What are you doing, Moods?
Yeah, listen, I don't totally disagree with you there, and he looks like a horse that might improve, Mytho. Listen, I was with Mr. Maestro all the way through, but I've got to say the barrier from the 2,500 metre start just really concerns me. Gate 17, it's going to take all of D-Lane's genius to navigate a path on that horse. And I've actually swung back the other way of Berkeley Square, and the Spring Champion Stakes winner, his name just escaped me.
Sharp and Smart.
I saw some vision of Sharp and Smart on the news a couple of evenings ago. And for a horse that raced last Saturday and travelled down to Melbourne from Sydney subsequently, he looked enormous. If he presents like that on Saturday, I reckon people will be pretty taken with him. Berkeley Square, the big stretches of Flemington, it's going to suit him unbelievably well. He's probably just got my edge for the fact, and the only difference is I'm reckon the travel factor between he and Sharp and Smart. Mr. Maestro, he's done nothing wrong. He's just going to need a hell of a lot of luck from that draw. So you work your multiples around the top three. It's an easy way out, I know. And I know there'll be one there at 33s or 50s that bobs up and runs a hole. Could even knock them off, I don't know, because strange things can happen with these horses at this trip. But the form guide says those three, and I'm not going to go away from them. Berkeley Square, just on top for me.
The Coolmore is always one of the great races of the Spring Carnival, and this one's shaping up as an absolute gem. Rayman, another very interesting betting market too.
Yeah, it is, Roger. A race full of chances, in my opinion, and the market sort of suggesting that as well. In Secret is the favourite, $3.90. Been good early support for Jackano, $6 into $5. Coolangatta, who was scratched from the Ladbrokes Batacado Stakes, $7. Burdos Nochos, who's got former and Giga Kick, is $7.50. Grand Impact's unbeaten, $8.50. It's a really, really good race. And, Rog, I know you like it when I have two bets in a race, and so I'm going to give you an even bigger treat. I'm having three bets here.
Can you keep it under 2 minutes?
I will, because I'm betting around in secret here. So Jackano, who was enormous in the Golden Rose and then ran a really good race in the Everest, finished a gallant fifth there. And I think he will take it better from that experience. We saw it last year with Home Affairs, a horse who he tried to go toe-to-toe with Nature Strip and Eduardo in the Everest and failed, but then came out and absolutely bolted in from the in the Coolmore Stud Stakes. So he took benefit from racing against those top-line horses. And I think we could see the same from Jackano here as well. Coolangatta have never really been one of mine, but I think at $7, she is worth a bet here. We saw her beat the older horses in the Moyer Stakes. She did have things go her way that day, but I still think she is a filly that does have some upside. We're still not exactly sure just how good Coolangatta is. So I'm happy to gamble that she can improve again and be in the mix at $7. And a horse I think is a really big price is Best of Bordeaux, $18. Was a really good third behind Bella Nipotina in the Ladbrokes Manicato Stakes on Saturday afternoon. Before that was a really good winner of the Roman Consol Stakes as well. And he might be the one that gets in the right part of the track. He's drawn 17. If that the far side of the straight does end up being a bit quicker than the inside, which it can often be the case, he could get in the right part of the track. So I'm backing those three to knock off in secret.
I thought Best of Bordeaux was a silly price given what he has shown on the track. But as you mentioned, that side of the track may be where you want to be. And Jackano is drawn just inside in barrier 16. And that's where I'll be putting my money. I think Jackano is a genuine star. I thought he might be the blowout chance in the Everest. Obviously, he wasn't. That was Giga Kick's race. But I think he's going to bounce back here against his own age group and send his stud value through the roof. Mytho, speaking of, well, it's the stallion-making race, and you know about stallions.
Yeah, well, we're trying with a couple. They're long in the market, but Buse and Duel will wear the colours on Saturday, and we're excited to have two representatives in a race that could see a colt end up being worth 25 or 30 million. So there's a lot at stake. I couldn't tip either of them to you, but we'll be in there trying. I mean, it's interesting. We've watched that Home Affairs preparation of last year where he was a little disappointing in the Everest, bounced back, dictated and dominated the Coolmore some 2 weeks later and turned himself into a high-priced stallion. And we're wondering whether Duel might be able to do the same thing, only beaten two lengths behind Giga Kick last start. That form looks pretty good, and he got a few things wrong in that race. So if he executes a bit better, I think he's probably our best chance between the two of them. But I'm tipping in secret. I can't go past her. She's a star, and her run in the Golden Rose was enormous. I like what they've done. Big gap between runs, taking the pressure off, giving her a breather, and set her for grand final day. I wonder whether Jackano had his grand final 2 weeks ago. We'll find out on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I find it hard to be continually agreeing with you, Mytho. Jackano versus Home Affairs. His Home Affairs was a big, strong, robust colt. Jackano is a slender, sort of more immature type of colt. So I'm with you. He's had two grand finals. He's had the Golden Rose and he's had the Everest. And now he's lining up for his third grand final in a row. I'm not doubting Mick Price and I'm certainly not doubting the horse's ability. But I just question, can he still be at the top of his game? In secret, had the perfect preparation. She's had one go at the Golden Rose. She's been down here, looked very good in a jump out down the straight the other day. She's the one to beat. But for me, I think we're looking away from the obvious here. What price Giga Kick? Now, Giga Kick would have to be favourite in this race on his form. And we're looking away from a horse that arguably only got beat by Bob of the Heads, was in front of him a stride before and a stride after the line the other day in Buenos Nachos, or however you want to pronounce it. I think he's had a great preparation from Matty Smith. He's had two runs down the straight. He's got that experience, and he has been super. If he was in the Coolmore, Mick Price, Chris Waller yard, he would be 6-4 in this race. Are we looking away from the obvious? So I'm with him, Buenos Nachos, just in front of In Secret, but great respect. I think Best of Bordeaux, I've been with him all year. He's on a 7-day backup off a hard run. Jackano's on a 14-day backup off a hard run. I think they're two quality colts, but I think the other two for me, Buenos Nachos and In Secret, to fight it out.
There's a big Kiwi hope in the Derby and Mr. Maestro, and there's a big Kiwi hope in the Empire Rose as well, Rain Man, and she is currently favourite for this race.
Yeah, she's the clear favourite here, Rog, the Kiwi hope. James McDonald in the saddle. It's $2.90. Hinged on the second line of betting for Chris Waller at $6.50. She's Lickety Split, another Kiwi for Andrew Forsman. He could have a serious day out on Derby Day. It's $9. Nimalee, $10. And you look at this field. You've got Group 1 winners and Group 1 horses at big prices here. Fangirls, $13. Ice Bath, we know, runs well in these sort of races, $15. It's a really deep addition of the Empire Road Stakes. But this this Kiwi mare does have, she brings some serious form into this race. She's had 10 race starts. She's won six of them. She's been in the placings in the other two. Was beaten as a $1.30 chance in the New Zealand Derby earlier this year. But has come out and just since resuming has been very impressive. Over an unsuitable 1,400 metres first up. On a really heavy track, finished a decent third. And then last start has absolutely bolted in to win a Group 1. We've seen the Kiwi mares do have a good record in the Empire Rose. And she does have a similar profile to Melody Bell, who won this race a few years ago. So I'm with the Kiwi here. I think she's a deserving favourite at $2.90.
She didn't have a lot of luck in that New Zealand Derby that you mentioned there as well. So her form could read even better. And if you do get a chance to look at her replays, she's impressive. The horse is, of course, yes, Le Creek. I thought this was a race for Chain of Lightning because that's where my multi was, but she's got bigger fish to fry.
No one cares about that multi, Rog. Give it up.
In her absence, I'm with the Kiwi here. I'm with Le Creek. Like I said, she's been very impressive in her form over there, which I don't take a lot of notice, but I've gone back and looked at them. It's a great story behind it too. The trainers, the Alexanders, they've been through some tough times. So Le Creek, I think, is going to prove her class. And next year, I hear that if she goes well here, if she wins this race, then they're going to look at next year planning a Cox Plate path for her. Mitho.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm with J-Mac here because I've had the opportunity to listen to J-Mac talk about this this mare a couple of times this week on various medias, and he is absolutely in raptures. It sounds like it's his best ride of the day, to be honest, and he'll ride a couple of winners. So I'll be chalking up a tick against its name. So La Creek for me, J-Mac, to get the job done.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to rock the apple cart here. I think it's La Creek or the Pineapple, really. If she arrives in a right form, I think she's certainly the one to beat. She's looked outstanding in New Zealand. Katrina Alexander, she's won a Sydney Cup with Honor Babe, so she knows how to travel these mares over from New Zealand. It's not a name a lot of people might know, but she's done it before, done it successfully. And like you said, the J-Mac added value there. It's hard to tip away from her. The only reason I could see her getting beat is if she hasn't traveled. And with the experienced team around her, I would suggest that's not the case. So La Creek and a Pineapple for the trifectas, throw in whatever you like.
Yeah, like Mitho said, the way J-Mac spoke about her after riding her down at Mornington, she's travelled all right. And he's known the Alexander family since he was a little boy in Pony Club. So it'd be nice if you ride a Group 1 winner for them. Rayman, let's head up to Sydney now. It is, of course, the Golden Eagle.
Oh, and what a race it is. We're looking for the Moody on the mic. Pop-up race, double, and Moods has got three chances and two chances right at the top of the market here.
Sorry, just quickly, the 4X Golden Eagle. So it could not be a more appropriate for the man who's got three runners to be running in the 4X Golden Eagle.
That is very appropriate.
I don't know why you're going up there and you missed out on Derby Day and you've given Victoria the bum steer, Moods. It's sponsored by 4X. I was wondering what you were doing.
Well, in terms of the market, Light Infantry, the favourite at $4. Chain of Lightning has been the best backed of Moods' runners on the second line of betting at $6. In the Congo, the Group 1 winner is the market mover, $11 into $8.50. I Wish I Win, being a little bit easy, $8.50 out to $10. And then rounding out the Moody effort is Lightsaber, who is a big old price, this one, Lightsaber. He's 201 to record what would be a stunning upset win. But I think this is a great race. The Golden Eagle, it does come up very strong every year. And I think this year, it's a particularly interesting race. Obviously, we've got the added excitement of Moose having Two genuine live chances. But it's also exciting to see Light Infantry in Australia, who's a horse with an outstanding record in France. Finished second behind Inspiral last start in a Group 1 in France, and she's arguably the best filly in Europe. So this is a very, very talented horse that has been sent to Australia purely for the Golden Eagle. And then if you look at the video on Ladbroke's social media channels about it, Life Infantry will return to Europe next year. We'll run at Royal Ascot, likely in the Prince of Wales Stakes, and then come back to Australia and finish its career here with Kieran Maher and David Eustace. So it's a really highly rated horse. And if it's made the trip, it's going to be very tough to beat. I like Chain of Lightning here, though, for me. At the $6, I think she is the pick of Moods' two horses. She's only had that one defeat, and I think Moods has ended up winning that little argument he had with Jamie Carr, that Jamie Carr got it wrong that day in the How Now Stakes. Cost me a big multi as well, to pull one out of the
No one cares playbook. About your multi, mate.
Yeah, to pull one out of the Oldwood playbook. But if we saw just how good she is again last start, and we still, it's similar to boat to a bit like what I said about Coolangatta. We still just don't know how good this mare is, Chain of Lightning, and I think we're going to get a really good indicator on Saturday. So I'm with Chain of Lightning here at $6 to knock off Light Infantry, and I've got a huge amount of respect for I Wish I Win as well. So I think the market's got it just about right, but Chain of Lightning on top for me.
I don't know about you, Mitho, but I don't reckon anyone gives a shit about what we reckon about this race. They just want to hear from the big fella as to how he's got his runners. So, Moots, over to you. And who's going to ride Lightsaber?
I think at this stage, Tom Sherry takes the ride on Lightsaber. Tom ran second in the race, I think, last year or the year before on Ice Bath. So, Lightsaber, listen, we know at his best, he's as good as a lot of his opposition here, but he's been off his top lately, so he needs to turn it around big time. But he'll go forward, make his own luck. He likes to go at a nice gallop, so he'll give himself a chance, hopefully. All three horses travelled up last night, settled in good this morning. Chain of Lightning's going superb, been unbelievably pleased. She's thrived between runs and done enormous, and drawn to get a gun run, as long as it's not a disadvantage on the day. You can see her parked up in the first half dozen just behind the speed, and she'll be probably the first one to present. I Wish I Win, he's going to need luck from the draw, but I reckon they'll go a good gallop here, and he'll be the one strongest late. If it came down to raw ability, I would have to say I Wish I Win is the pick of mine at the moment, and he's absolutely thrived since his Toorak run. But looking at the barrier draws, it probably swings me back ever so slightly to Chain of Lightning, just thinking that she's going to get an uncomplicated run. If she gets the gaps at the right time, she's not going to need as much luck. So probably just Chain of Lightning over I Wish I Win, but very little between the pair. And like Rain Man rightfully pointed out, Light Infantry, he's got tremendous European form, and you've really got to respect that. And if the right horse arrives on the day, you know, he's going to be extremely hard to beat. Jamie Spencer and Frankie Dettori are champion European jockeys. But I think my biggest advantage here is Jamie Spencer's on Light Infantry. If it was Hugh Bowman, I reckon Light Infantry would be 6-4. In a 20-horse field, hustle and bustle around Rose Hill, you know, I think my biggest aid in beating Light Infantry is Jamie Spencer's lack of experience, not his lack of ability, but his lack of experience in that scenario. I reckon we saw it a little bit in the Cox Plate the other day. And, I reckon I could nearly win the race, which I'll cop it from anyone of my two. Chain of Lightning, I Wish I Win. They're going there with no excuses. I believe they're both good enough. What gets luck running will run extremely well.
10% of first prize money is about $500,000, I reckon, Moot. So that'd be all right for in the stable. You could buy a bit of Forex.
You can get 60% of it if I Wish I Win gets up.
I wonder if Forex, and someone could probably reach out to the Castlemaine United representative in New South Wales. I wonder if they'll give me my weight in Forex beer or something like that. I can remember when one of the shampoo pain companies was at Mum or one of those. It used to give the trainer's weight in champagne to him if he won the stakes. I wonder if we could do something with Forex as well.
Wouldn't you prefer the horse's weight in Forex than your own?
Yeah, that'd be better. That'd get up to a pallet. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. The horse that I find interesting here that I'll be taking a keen interest in is Gypsy Goddess. First up, and I believe the only run for the spring, a really well-executed plan by a deep thinker of our game in David Van Dyke, who's who can pull off a plan pretty successfully. So I think she's a bit of the forgotten horse in this field. While everyone's talking about these, you know, the drop-in internationals just here for the Golden Eagle, well, so too is Gypsy Goddess. And I love those Queensland Oaks horses resuming over a mile. I'm always a fan of them first up, and happens to be first up in a Golden Eagle for Gypsy Goddess. So I'll have a little ticket on Gypsy Goddess each way, as well as Barrackin for Moods' trio.
Spring racing is in the air, so why not multiply the excitement with a Ladbrokes Same Race Multi? To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race, find the Same Race Multi tab, and pick 2 to 4 runners to finish anywhere inside the top 4. Combine multiple runners from the same race to get even greater odds. To get the best Same Race Multi coverage with more races than ever before. Spring racing is in the air. Ladbroker. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Best bets, Moody on the mic. Bit of a mixed bag last week because mine was scratched, Moods was scratched, Sweet Ride ran second. Mytho threw out both Barrable, who was no good after Clayton Douglas gave it a push, but then also did the Golden Mile, who won. So, we'll give Mytho half a point there. But Rayman, kick us off for this week.
I wish you hadn't mentioned Sweet Ride, Rog, because I'm still getting over that. How that horse, if you watched how that horse at the 100 didn't win that race, I will never.
I
never,
was actually in the queue counting my money. It was.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll ever get over that one, but here we are. We look to bounce back. I'm looking to the now renamed Lexus Archer Stakes, named after the horse that won the first two Melbourne Cups. And with the Chris Waller trained James McDonald in the saddle, Surefire, who's had a really good prep, really. He won first up and he was getting touted as a Caulfield Cup fancy, and that probably did flatter him a little bit. But he's since gone on and run a number of good races, including a second-place finish in the Geelong Cup last start. I think he's ready to win a race, and I think he'll get every possible chance here from Barrier 7 with James McDonald in the saddle. So my best bet of the day, Flemington Race 2, number 8, Surefire.
Better wait to the last race of the day for my best bet to come around. But I thought she was tremendous last start in winning. It is the Henry Dwyer trained Aspura. Goes around at around the $3 mark. But race 9, number 2, the Furphy Sprint. Maybe we get our body weight in Furphy as well if Aspura wins, just for shits and giggles.
Yuck.
but I like VB. So, you know, I'm a simple man. Mytho. What do you got going around this weekend? Obviously, a couple in the Coolmore.
It's going to look a bit like a setup, actually, because I'm going to Sydney for the Furphy Handicap, race 3. I'm not trying to get my weight in beer, by the way. We've got Lock Eagle in that race. It was trying to get into the Golden Eagle, as I might have mentioned, running in the Silver Eagle a couple of weeks ago. Lots of eagles, but Lock Eagle will run instead, race 3, Rose Hill. Generous price, I reckon. It'll start shorter than its quote at the moment, about $7 in most bookmaker markets. So I reckon once the market sort of works out, this is a talented horse back to a benchmark 78. That could have been a live hope in a $10 million race on the day. It'll start shorter than that, and I reckon he will give you a big sight. So Lock Eagle, my best. We've also got La Joya going around in the Wakeful at a big price, but was a bit stiff not to win last start, and can run a hole. So have a little ticket, maybe a place ticket on her.
Righto, boys. Pretty quiet Saturday. Well, in Melbourne for me, nothing at Derby Day, which is very unusual for the little boutique stable. But we've got a few runners at Traralgon. Obviously, the 3 and the Golden Eagle we've discussed well. I reckon include Chain of Lightning and I Wish I Wish Multiples. They're both going to be each way odds and certainly include them there. We've got a truckload headed to the Valley Friday night, probably headed by Black Caviar's little girl, Invincible Caviar. Drawn to get a gun run on the Fillies and Mares benchmark 70, drawn barrier 1. She's coming off a good first up win at Sale, and I think she's probably my best of the weekend on Friday evening. But there's 4 or 5 of ours there. What I take to the races, I'll have a look and see how the track presents. I would expect to be very competitive. They're very well placed, and all sort of drawn to run very well. But Invincible Caviar, probably the pick of mine on Friday night. And let's hope Chain of Lightning and I Wish I Win can continue the show's success in the pop-up races. And it'll be lovely to have a little trophy on my mantelpiece like Mytho just had there from the Invitational last week. So one of the great days racing in at Derby Day. I'd love to be playing there, but off to Sydney for the 4X Golden Eagle, boys. I don't know if there's one in there that'd win the Everest, but by Christ, we're going to let them run fast. Ladbrokes.